So there's this really big mountain right by my Airbnb in Busan that I think it's the one that I saw the very first day that I was here. I'm trying to figure out the maneuver around in my brain. Is that on the right side that I'm thinking of? It doesn't matter. There's mountains everywhere, but this one, it's very close. And I've tried a couple of times to get up it, but the same thing here as in Japan. Just because you see a mountain doesn't mean you can just go there. You got to figure out the way up or you will not make it. And I think I found the way up. I think it's literally just a road. Beacon Fire Station in Hangryong Mountain. Hwangryong Mountain. But on the way there, north of there, I saw another mountain. Just saw it as I was walking. Much smaller. But I thought, hey, let's go try that. And I found Baesangseong Castle Site. Baesangseong. And a temple. I think those are one and the same. I think that's where I just was. Very nice. Really big, elaborate temple. And then there was a little path up into the woods, but there's barbed wire fence here. It's not extremely serious barbed wire fence. I think I could get over it, but I'm not going to do that. You know, the message of barbed wire fence is plenty. I don't know what's on top of this mountain, but it's not for me. But that's not so bad. I can just cross it off the list. Like, okay, for all intents and purposes, I explored this mountain. I found what there is to find. I can either go back to that other mountain today or just save it. Because it's really fucking hot out. My arms and my neck are not enjoying this sun. It's so hot. How strange. There's someone who just walked by on the other side of the barbed wire. So that begs the question, is there a way to get over there, or did he do a little fence hopping? This is very confusing. Anyway, I'll just keep walking along. See what happens. Because there are a lot of, don't fall down the hill type of fences in Korea. And I could see that. It's kind of a steep stumble down to this temple. Barbed wire is very weird. This is unusual. Anyway, I also hear construction in the distance that I didn't realize was going on. So let me sort this out. And I'll hop back into the podcast in a bit. Ah, nice. I saw a sign on the other side of the barbed wire, pointing away from me, one of those standard sort of, don't litter, don't smoke, don't burn down the whole forest, please, signs. And since it was pointing away from me, it's like, okay, so you are supposed to be able to be over there. It's just, you're not supposed to connect these two places. So, yeah, right next door to the temple is a public park. 20 minutes later, now I'm on the other side. I'm at that sign. I'm on the other side of the barbed wire. I'm on the proper side now. It's interesting. I guess it's just, they don't want people descending upon the temple in the night or something. Because this barbed wire is serious, man. Like, I followed the thing all the way. And there was not a single spot. I thought maybe I could skirt around the edge of it at the end. But there was no end. Like, they really sealed it up tight. And it is a little steep, so yeah, maybe they just don't want people coming in not from the main entrance. Maybe it's a liability thing that they don't want people to fall down this hill. But I don't know, I get a kind of weird feeling that it's just like, it's just two properties owned by two entities, and it's just like, hey, these don't connect. I don't actually know anything about Buddhism, but my presumption would be that it would be, shouldn't it be open? Shouldn't it be like flowing like water? Where this is like, no, you don't come in here. You want to come in here, you go down to the street, you walk around, and you come in the front door like a polite person. Anyway, this is pretty cool. It's not a very big mountain, but it's very nice. It's a Sunday today, and there's just people up here exercising and hiking around and doing stuff. But yeah, one reason why I'm checking out these closer mountains is I'm still basically doing day on, day off. You know, one day to go pick a distinct peak or something and try to get up it, and then the next day just find a coffee shop and chill out. Seems like it's working pretty well. And it is kind of nice, because yeah, in Japan, I did feel like I tried not to take days off. You know, it's like, let's just try to absorb as much of this as I can in the 90 days that I'm here. Where with South Korea, I feel so much more comfortable in that I've got more time here. The Canadian visitor visa is 180 days. And this is all like a bonus anyway. This is all just a bonus because it's next door to Japan, so I just happen to be here. So if I see stuff, I see stuff. If I just see a coffee shop, then I just see a coffee shop. And it's like, you know, it's kind of nice in a way to chill a little bit. It looks like I'm at the peak. But yeah, last episode I was at a way bigger mountain. This one, for instance, does not have an elevation number because it's probably just not that impressive, you know? Where the one I was at last episode was almost 650 meters, which feels way bigger because I think the base level of Busan is lower because we're by the sea. I did look that up, not super specifically, but they do measure mountains based on sea level. And then there's a whole process of what is the average sea level? How do you actually determine that? But I didn't get too deep into that because that's okay. I'll take their word for it. But that's interesting to know that if you're farther away from the sea and you're in a more mountainous region, 600 meters might not feel like 600 meters, but when you're by the sea, it sure does. Holy crap, it's real high. And yeah, I noticed that day, I had a bit of a sore knee on the way back, which again, I think is usually because I went down too fast, not from going up. It's so hard to modulate your speed when you're going down, whereas it's easy to modulate your speed going up because you don't have much choice. But then when I got back home, I was so exhausted, like in this unnatural way, especially being an insomniac as I am. I don't really ever get tired like that, you know? I mean, even last night, it's like, all right, I should try to get to bed a little earlier. I went to bed at like 1 a.m, but not really. Hem and haw and fuck around and can't fall asleep or whatever. I didn't really fall asleep till 5 a.m. It's just like, God damn it. Oh, well, whatever. That constant awareness of like, oh, I'm almost asleep. Like, you're not supposed to be aware that you're almost asleep. You're just supposed to fucking fall asleep. So it's weird for me to just be dead tired. But when I got back from that mountain, I like couldn't move. I like laid down and just for half an hour, I just couldn't move. I still didn't properly fall asleep, but I was like, dude, I like just turned into stone. I turned into a rock. What is going on? And then I got it in my head. It's this little trick of the human brain, I guess, that it's like, okay, so I got up to that mountain and there were signs up there that said you could keep going along the ridge for like a while, like another 4 or 5 kilometers. So I was like, cool, maybe I should do that. Because in my mind, like a little trick of the mind, it's like a save point in a video game or something. God, there's too many people here. Keep trying to go different ways to avoid people, but they're everywhere. This park is too small for me to talk to myself. Someone listening to their radio. But yeah, it seems like in my mind, like, cool, I'll just hop back to there and then go from there and go a little farther. But it took all day to get there the first time. You know, it's not like I have any secret shortcut to get there. I just got to go back. I got to go all the way back. And I did try to do that a couple of days after. And I really only made it like halfway up. Even that first day, I was like, oh, geez, this is really rough. This is a very tough ascent. But I did pretty much go straight up the side of the mountain. It was on a path, but it wasn't like a very well-used path. Where there did seem to be a more gradual way to get up there, it's always so hard to find these things, you know, you just got to keep dicking around till you stumble upon the proper method. So I thought I would try to stay on one of the more major paths and see if I could figure out a more gentle ascent. And I didn't. Instead, I just walked along the edge of the mountain, but it was still nice. Got a different view of the reservoir. Just went halfway up the mountain and across and down. But that was fine. Halfway is fine. It's like, yeah, that's okay. I don't need to go back up there. And I think I figured out what the deal is, like why these particular mountains are just sapping my strength so hard. And it's that in Seoul, you know, I'd always take the subway to whichever mountain. I remembered it, Ingwansen, right? That was the name I couldn't remember. And then, of course, Bukhansen. So you'd basically just start at the foot of the mountain. And it was that way a lot in Japan as well. You know, take the subway to Ome, or the dreaded Okutama with its terrifying steep mountains. But you're still basically starting right there. Where I realized here, when I come back from any of these mountain hikes in Busan, like even just last episode when I was at the end, when I was talking about robot statues and stuff, just walking through the city, I didn't pull out my phone at all, my little map, while I was recording that, because all I did anytime I got to an intersection is just which way it goes down. Just go down. Just keep following down, down, down. And everything went down until I finally got to, there's this big highway overpass. And when I got to that, it's like, okay, now I know I need to follow that, because that goes over and connects to the edge of the Busan Citizens Park, the main middle park right by my Airbnb. But I could easily navigate just by going down. And that made me realize, like, wait a second, if I'm so evidently going down the whole time, then the reverse is obviously true as well. Oh, here's the second peak. This one looks higher up. Well, all right then, let's try to go to that. But yeah, the whole walk, the 90 minutes or so, just to get to the base of the mountain, in this case, I'd been going uphill that whole time, but, you know, just gradually, so I didn't really notice. It didn't really click in that I was. But that's 90 minutes of gradually going up, gradually going up, gradually going up. Then you get to the mountain and it's like, boom, super gear. Now we're really going up. Now it's getting steep. So I was not starting at 100%. I was like 75% at best. Who knows? Who knows how much of my strength was being, like, not accidentally, unknowingly, inadvertently sapped away. So yeah, even though there's that little trick of the explorer part of the human brain that's like, okay, I've already been to this distance, I got to X. Now from X, we'll push on to Y, and you can just sort of shortcut it in your brain. Just presume it's easy to get back to X, just because your brain is like, yeah, we know about that, we did that already. But the dumb little trick of your brain, you can't trick your body. You can't trick these brutal rolling hills that are so, like, it's such an interesting thing that it's not just a steep mountain, because I've had a surprisingly easy time with that type of situation. If you just give me the steepest steps in the world, you know, I can handle that. The thing in Jecheon where I went up like 700 meters in 1 kilometer, that's like essentially straight up. And it was no biggie, I did that, no problem. I mean, it was a problem, but I did it. Whereas like a 90-minute gradual grind up a more gentle incline, surprisingly harsh, because you don't realize that it's taken so much out of you. Very interesting, interesting phenomenon. All very easy, all very simple junior high school level physics, but it's not something I would ever think about till it's happening to me. Hey, here's a little washroom. Privacy, please. There, not featured through the magic of editing, was me peeing. I'm sure you can imagine. 425 meters with a little hiking man. Meters distance, not height. Sounds good to me. Let's do that. Ooh, azalea flowers. Yeah, the cherry blossoms are definitely pretty much done for. I am very surprised how quick that went. But other stuff is blooming now, new flowers and everything. Very nice. But yeah, it made me realize, instead of like pushing it, let's go a little farther, let's go a little farther, let's try a new route, let's try a new thing, add to this, add to that, put a new appendage on every little dumb trip, because that's kind of what I do everywhere else. I think in Busan, perhaps that is not the best plan. I mean, I still haven't even really taken the subway, other than a little bit on the very first day. I've only been exploring to places I can walk to. And I'm learning that it's rough. It's so cool because it's like, yeah, there's a mountain like in my backyard, like two neighborhoods away or whatever. You can just walk to it. But it's tougher than it seems. Instead of adding to the adventure, perhaps I should be taking the adventure down a notch. Maybe that should be about the farthest that a person goes, not the beginning of an adventure. I should be doing smaller adventures than that. So yeah, I'm exploring closer places, and then maybe I can start taking the subway so that I can start some of these journeys a little fresher without the 90-minute grind fest to get to the start.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, English only.
Huh? Indonesia.
Only English, Canadian from Canada.
Canada.
Yeah.
Ah, Vancouver. Vancouver.
No, the other side, the East Coast.
So. Canada.
Yeah, it's nice. It's nice there, but it's cold. Nice to meet you. Yeah, there's a classic conversation that who knows what anyone's saying. Whatever. Here's another signpost with 1,170 meters to something. I'm quite sure this park is not a kilometer wide. I think that just means this is the way to loop around the outside edge instead of going straight up to the peak. Works for me. Man, yeah, there are a lot of people here, I guess because it's Sunday. There's another guy doing a barefoot walk. Maybe that's one reason why they put down those, like, those hay carpet looking things on so many of the trails, since the barefoot walk is so popular. Just to, you know, make that a little easier, less rocks. I remember my brother used to do that when he was a kid in the summertime. He would just not wear shoes and build up calluses on his feet. So he was so proud of how he could walk on spiky rocks. I feel like he even walked on glass once just to prove how badass he was. But yeah, it's cool in theory, but again, because of my fallen arches and stuff, I can't do that. Man, in fact, I've been destroying socks. I upgraded my socks to like fancy fucking sports socks, and I'm still just tearing the heels out of them. It's weird that I'm not tearing the shit out of my actual heel, you know? I never notice that my socks are obliterated, so I guess maybe the bottoms of my feet are kind of toughened up. But I don't know, I think maybe I need to venture to like one of the actual for real hiking stores or something. Get some more badass socks, because yeah, I just am obliterating everything. But yeah, that's the specifics of how things are going in Busan. For more general stuff, it's been really hard to sort out in my brain what's going on, but I think it's finally shaking loose. This happens to me a lot where I'm definitely not a fan of making quick decisions. It's one thing I always hated about school and jobs is I hate being pushed to make a choice. I much rather let things stew until the path becomes clear, and it can take a while and it's uncomfortable. It'd be nice to just know and to just make a choice and just have a path set. It's a little uncomfortable to spend a week or two floating in space, not quite knowing what you're doing, but I just can't deny that whatever I had in mind just doesn't feel right. It just doesn't feel like the way forward. Writing a novel actually feels very much the same way. That's why it takes so long, is Even if you don't know what comes next or what the next move is or what the next step is, you can tell what's not, you know, when you don't have it. And when you don't have it, don't push forward. Don't write that chapter. It's not going to be good. And in life, don't make that choice if you don't have to. It's not going to be the right thing. You're going to realize later, like, oh, I wish I had gone a little slower, thought things through more. I mean, I felt like this my whole life. I feel like it's like a battleship turning around. It's very slow. I just know that I don't know what to do. And then I very slowly turn the ship around until things become clear. I gotta get off this path. There are so many fucking people here. It's ridiculous. So I'm going up the steep path because nobody's on the steep path. But yeah, for some mountain philosophizing, I was thinking, like, I don't think it's anything unusual about me that I have this, like, decision paralysis or that it's so hard to determine the right way forward. I don't think that's necessarily unique to me. I think a lot of people feel that way, so they just allow other people to make the decision, you know, at your job or whatever. Just let someone else be the boss. Let someone else make the choice. And then, of course, there's people that are great at making snap decisions and quick acting blah, blah, blahs. But I also doubt that that's necessarily the best, the best policy, the best method. Sometimes it's appropriate. But basically, I guess where I was getting tangled up is I just kind of figured, like, okay, this trip is probably kind of coming to an end. The idea was to go to Japan, and then South Korea was right here. And then I just figured, like, yeah, right, probably about time to go back to Canada, make an appearance. But, you know, with the idea that I don't have any more reason to be in Canada than anywhere else. I don't have a house there. I don't have an apartment. I don't have a job. I got nothing there any more than I do here. You know, it just seemed like probably about time. Especially if I go to Toronto first, by the time I get back to my hometown, it'd be about a year. You know, I was like, that seems all right. So, because I was presuming I would go back to Canada, that led me to think, like, well, I basically need to be in Busan or Seoul. For an international flight, it's got to be one or the other. But then I did a little research, and brutal, shocking. I mean, I know it was expensive to get to Japan, but I also caught, like, the WestJet flight, which is the somewhat cheaper of our very few airlines that we have in Canada. And it was right at the end of the season, right before they stopped flying to Japan for the winter. So it was as cheap as it was going to get. And I don't remember anymore what it was, but it was over $1,000. So, I mean, I knew that. But my visa in South Korea ends at the end of July. And at the end of July, I checked that whole week. The cheapest flight anytime during that whole week is still a 31-hour layover crazy flight, which is fine. I learned in Calgary, I don't mind. I kind of want to test that. How many days can I live in airports? I couldn't believe how not a problem that was. So that's not a problem, but if I'm going to have one of these weird, long layover, bizarre flights, I'd like for it to be at least affordable. And the cheapest flight that whole week was $1,600, plus fees, taxes, blah, blah, blah. It's going to be a lot more than that. And any other flight was more than that. Realistically, it's like $2,000 to get home. And then, you know, the idea was to go to Toronto. Toronto is not going to be cheap. It's going to be very expensive. So it's like, fuck, dude, thousands of dollars to get back to Toronto? That, you know, all my friends live there. I like to see them. But I don't need to see the city of Toronto again. I lived there for years. I'm good with Toronto. It just was like, this doesn't really make sense. This is way too expensive. And I think it is just like Canada is kind of uniquely bad to fly to. Because it's so big and so far away with so few people. So even, I mean, getting to America is not cheap. But it's cheaper because there's a lot more flights and a lot more options. Canada, there's just so few airlines and so few places to go and so little demand that, yeah, have fun. Give me $2,000, please. Like, fuck. That would have to be a pretty crazy emergency to justify that. And it certainly is not that. I don't even want to go home, really. I just kind of felt like, probably about time. So then I started looking into, like, well, what else is around here instead? It just makes more sense to take things in smaller stages. Like, even if I go to another country, another country, another country, then home, you know, maybe I go the other way around, over to Europe or something. You know, it's probably going to add up to the same amount to fly to these places, but at least I'd get something out of it, you know? At least there'd be more to it. So especially near here is Taipei, which I transferred through an airport in Taipei back in 2019 when I came back from Japan the first time. So I spent an afternoon in the airport. So that's like, you know, I have such a hard time with geography unless I've been to a place. It's a lot blurrier until I've been there. But that was close enough to being there that it always stayed in my mind. Like, okay, I know Taipei's right there. I looked into it very briefly, and one of the first things I saw on good old TripAdvisor, again, I love TripAdvisor, the TripAdvisor forums, somebody mentioned how there are 7-Elevens and Family Marts on, like, every block. And I was like, ding, 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 like, oh, that sounds fun. Because, like, even just in a shallow way, you know, that's what I've been doing, is, like, I now know the difference between a 7-Eleven in North America versus Japan versus South Korea. They're pretty different, you know, they're all quite different. Japan is by far the king. But what's Taipei like, you know? Like, just to have that little shallow goal, you know, that very silly thing to do. But it's kind of nice because it takes a little bit of the pressure off of, you know, just the general stress of travel. It's like, yeah, that's a silly thing to do and a silly reason to go there. But it is a plan. It is a reason to go there that I legitimately, in my shallow way, am curious about. I kind of thought the 7-Elevens in South Korea would be a lot more like Japan. And they're just not. They're very different. So what's Taipei like? Only one way to find out. I mean, probably there's YouTube videos about it, but I could have watched a YouTube video about South Korean convenience stores too. Wouldn't have sunk in, like, going there, that's the thing. And since I'm already here, again, since I'm next door, as a little test, I'm like, well, what would that cost? If it costs $1,600 minimum to get to Toronto, what does it cost to get to Taipei? $200, you know, $250 at a push. It's like, dude, if that's not the god of travel telling me not to go home, I don't know what is. And now I'm getting higher up. I can see past the tree line. I'm trying to orient myself. I'm like, what is this enormous mountain I'm looking at? I don't think that's the one with the reservoir. I believe that's over to my left, but I don't see the reservoir from here. So I don't know what that mountain is, but it's even bigger. Again, not that far, doesn't seem that hard to get to. There's the city goes like halfway up the mountain before the mountain finally makes the building stop. But that's a big one, man. What the heck mountain is that? Since I've been kind of twisting around this park, I'm a little not sure which side of it I'm on right now. But yeah, instead of this, you know, just the feeling of this horrible barrier, this horrible financial barrier especially, but then also the 31-hour flight just to get to Toronto, it's like, this just doesn't make any sense. If I could do it for, like, I don't know, $800, I'm sure I would. I don't know how I think that would happen. Maybe if I search more. I mean, there are some weird flights where you can fly through America that can help. I might be able to cobble something together, but it's going to be brutal no matter what. So yeah, maybe this just doesn't make sense, you know? Like, I just kind of had it in my mind to, like, you know, I guess I should head home. But why exactly? You know? Nobody minds too much. I used to go years and years. I mean, like, when I moved to Vancouver and when I moved to Toronto, each of those times I was gone for like 4 years. Where I barely even talked to anybody back home. At least now I've taught my mom, like, how to do internet phone calls and stuff. I talk to her every week or so. Doesn't feel that different from being there. You know, if I was there in person, I would still just go visit her once a week. Doing it through the video phone, it's not so bad. you know, I guess that's the main guilt, is just like, you know, me poor old ma, now that my dad's passed away. But I was talking to her, and I mentioned this to her. I'm like, yeah, I think maybe I'm going to take longer because $200 versus $1,600, it's just, like, very clear. And even she said, like, yeah, you know, it's not like you got, like, a family. She said, it's not like you got family to come back to here. She's like, well, I mean, you know, there's some, but not like a family. Like, I got a wife and kids, you know. The insinuation was pretty clear. Like, she's good. She's fine. She's got her own life going on. She doesn't need me around. It's not that big a deal. I'll get back eventually. And, well, she even mentioned, too, like, you know, I'm sure you'll just get back and then get stir crazy to leave again. And I said, oh, yeah, like, no question. The moment I get back, I'll be counting down the days until I leave again. So, yeah, it does just make sense to just go some more places while I'm here. Like, why the fuck not? So Taipei seems like a good plan. And then I was like, yeah, I guess, I don't know, maybe Vietnam. It's right there. Then I could hop over to Europe. There's good old Amsterdam that I've been to before. And then there's France, that I do speak French, so that could be interesting to see how my French-Canadian French holds up to Parisian French. They seem pretty different, but I'm sure I can fudge my way through. So yeah, in the end, $200 to get to Taiwan, $200 more to get to Vietnam, $500 to get to Amsterdam, who knows how much to get to, you know, it'll all add up to the same, you know, $1,500, $1,600, $2,000, whatever. But at least I'll have stopped places and done things on the way, and it just doesn't feel so insane. Spending that kind of money to fly straight back to Canada is just insane. I just can't do it. And yeah, there's just, I kind of made up the reasons to do it. There's no particular reason to do that. So then that also loosens up. That's where, like, I haven't booked any more time at my Airbnb yet, because even though this Airbnb is super nice and Busan seems super nice, because I started with that assumption that I needed to be in Busan or Seoul, I was like, all right, I guess I'll just stay in Busan. I guess for 3 months I'm just going to stay here because this is pretty nice. I like this city. But I didn't book the days because it just was such it's an ostentatious amount of time. That's where I had the idea that maybe I should message my Airbnb person first to warn them and just say, like, I know this is ludicrous. I'm already there for like 5 weeks to add another almost 2 months onto that. I thought I should ask them first. Like, that's a little much, isn't it? Is that okay? And I just hemmed and hawed and didn't do it because something felt wrong. It just didn't feel like the right thing to do. It just seemed wrong. And now that everything is slowly coming together, it's like, yeah, that would have been wrong. That was the wrong choice. That is working under presumptions that, you know, starting with incorrect assumptions of what I was going to do from here. If I'm not going back to Toronto, it doesn't matter if I'm in Busan or Seoul. I don't need international flights. I could be anywhere because a little tiny flight to Taiwan, who gives a crap? I could do that from anywhere. That's the beauty of not being in Canada. So many options, so many airlines, so many little Carmen Sandiego around the world in 80 days, neat little things you can do that are just not available. Canada is so, so limited and so expensive for flights. Man, this is getting higher up than I thought. This mountain is actually deceptively high. Walking along the edge of it, along this little path with occasional little steps, reminds me of in the first Monkey Island game, the guy who runs the little lighthouse thing at the edge of the cliff. And these two people I passed both have brimmed hats. That's not a bad idea. I got the brim on the front, but one on the back to protect the neck wouldn't be a bad idea, although I still think just maybe a very thin jackety type thing might be good. So anyway, with these thoughts rolling around in my mind, everything loosening up and becoming so much easier, it's like, okay, I don't necessarily have to stay in Busan this whole time, because I was also kind of feeling, you know, like Seoul was so polluted and Jetjeon was so small that it's like, okay, I don't really want to go back to Seoul, and I don't necessarily want to go to a different, smaller city, because I've done those experiments. But this would loosen things up a little. Specifically, there's Jeju Island. It's a little island off of Korea that I could check out if I can find a little cheap flight to that, which I'm sure I can. This is a pretty good view. Episode image time. So specifically, where am I going? What am I doing? I don't know, but it's okay now because it doesn't matter as much. Like, to book the flight home, I had to book out, you know, in several months in advance, a couple of months in advance, and then book all the stuff leading up to that. And it was all just like, yeah, weird amount of lead-up time. Too much. Made things stiff. Now it's like, yeah, I can book some more time in Busan, but it doesn't have to be the whole time because 3 months is so long. Like, I haven't stayed anywhere for 3 months, you know? Even in 2019, when I stayed at some places for quite a long time in Japan, it was still like a month, I think, was the how long I stayed in Nakaitabashi. Maybe a little over a month, but not 3 months. And I guess I was just so relieved to get away from the pollution of Seoul. I kind of thought like, ah, this is the magic of Busan. But Busan's still a little bit polluted, and a lot of it is just the time of year. If I go somewhere else near here, like Jeju, or even just another city on the coast, I think things will be about the same. As nice as Busan is, I'm just gonna wanna go somewhere else eventually. I don't wanna be here that long. Now that I don't need a big, bad international flight. Oh, still going up. I think this is the final ascent. This is getting pretty steep. So then I started thinking, like, so if I do stay in Korea until my 180 days are up, and then I go to Taipei, and then maybe Vietnam or something, even just Taipei, I don't know. I'm still in this part of the world where all these flights are very available and pretty darn cheap. And that's quite a long break since I left Japan, and the Japan visitor visa is so indistinct. You get 90 days, but then maybe you can go back for 90 more. It's just not in the books, but I'm a citizen in good standing. I got money in the bank. It's probably not a problem. And it's not like I just left and came straight back. This would be, you know, months that I've been gone. I'll have been gone for, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9 months or whatever, we'll see. And the plan was always to go back to Canada and just bide my time and twiddle my thumbs for a bit and then go back to Japan. I just wanted to keep things flexible, keep the option open. But if I'm just hanging around in this part of the world and the plan is just to go back to Japan ultimately anyway, and it's gonna cost me thousands and thousands of dollars to fly home and fly back, it's starting to seem more and more like I should just take that second bite of the Japan apple right now while I'm here. And then when I do go home again, I will have to wait at least a full year before I try to go back to Japan again. Maybe a little longer just to make sure everything is copacetic. But that time will still go by fast, and it'll be a better excuse at that point to actually stay home for a while, you know? It's just making more and more sense. Because also, I think some of those flights, the horror flight, it's not actually a direct flight from Seoul or Busan to Toronto. They pretty much go through Narita. Like, that also got in my mind. It's like, so I mean, I have to go to Japan anyway. I have to go transfer through Japan. Again, I feel like it's the travel gods going like, hey, buddy, Japan was the whole point here, right? All this other stuff is nice. But Japan's the place that is really, like, fascinating to you. It's right there. It costs you $1 zillion to go home, and it costs you like a couple hundred to go back to Japan. So especially if you dick around for a while. Dick around in Taipei, dick around somewhere else. That year before you're officially supposed to go back anyway, it could naturally just be up, or it'll be very near up. Starting to make a lot of sense. And now I'm looking at a side of the city I've never seen before because there's like a big archway. A big circular arch going over a road. Like there's a bridge going across a river, and then on the other side of the bridge is an arch. I say big, but it's actually very small compared to all the skyscrapers and then the enormous mountain behind it. Man, what the hell is that mountain? That thing is fucking big. Although, Jesus, there's some buildings in the deep distance that must be also on top of mountains. There's no way they're really that tall. They look fucking wicked tall. It's so hard to tell on Google Maps what mountain I'm looking at, but this one that I might be looking at, Jiangshan Waterfall. As much shit as I've talked about waterfalls in the past, again, a goal is a goal, right? A target's a target. It could be a thing to go check out. I mean, if I did stay in Busan for 3 months, there's certainly enough to do. But yeah, I was thinking how, like, geez, they've even stuff like, I was in Chiba for, like, 5 days. I can't believe how much stuff happened in 5 days, you know. I was in Fukuoka last time for only 3 weeks, and I did a lot of stuff in fucking 3 weeks. Went back to the Legal Mind building. That was, like, 4 days. 3 months is just a crazy amount of time. That is ludicrous. So, I mean, yeah, I doubt I'll stay in Busan that long. But yeah, this could also be where I'm starting to realize if this trip is going to go longer than I thought, and if I do go back to Japan, I'm sure I'll kick it back into gear with obsessive amounts of podcasting, where when I'm not in Japan, I just record once in a while when some thoughts cross my mind. But when I'm in Japan, it's like every day I just want to record what I'm doing. I thought I would be doling these podcasts out for a while before I went back to Japan, but if I'm going back sooner, I might have to double these up. You know, one a week is not enough. Maybe if there was a point where this podcast started coming out twice a week, this was when I realized that I should do that. Anyway, this is definitely the top. Very nice view. Very successful day. This turned out better than I expected. This mountain is a lot bigger than it seemed from a distance. Let's see if there's a number at the very, very tippity top. You got a number for me? Yeah, a mere 256 meters. But again, with the basin-like geography of Busan, is like, yeah, there's mountains all around me that are all much bigger than this. But the actual city is a for real 250 meters down. You know, it's quite far down there. Yeah, it's such a weird phenomenon. Like I was saying the other day, how I was on a 400 meter mountain, and it was blowing my fucking mind how high up it felt. And then the 650 meter one is like, fuck me. Yeah, this one's only 250, and it's like, this is high. This is very, very nice. Fuck yeah. Mission motherfucking accomplished for today. This is sweet. And because this mountain is like literally next door to my Airbnb, it's like fucking across the street. It's only 3 o'clock. Plenty of time in the day. This isn't one of these like ramble my way home, get home in the dark type of days. I can go to a coffee shop now and do a coffee shop stop as well. Get a little writing done on my fucking proverbial novel. Supposed novel. Phantom novel. But yeah, again, I guess I haven't given an official thank you to my phantom dad. Phantom novels, phantom dads, phantom jobs, phantom goals in life. It's a phantom life I lead. I'm a phantom ghost floating through the world. But man, I sure do appreciate it. I sure do appreciate getting inheritance money from my dear old hardworking dad. And of course, my currently still working mom. I'm sure she could retire, but she doesn't do that, and maybe never will. But just that I have the not just the luxury of these long visits and vacations, because again, it's like, what am I going home for? Just to pay more money to live there than it costs me to live here? It's like, there's just, it doesn't matter. I'm a dirty trust fund, no good beatnik. But it's also nice to just have that flexibility when it's just feeling like I don't know what the right choice is. I don't know how to proceed forward. I don't know what to do. And it's just this little stress knot in my gut for a week and a half where I just am paralyzed with indecision. The first seemingly obvious thing is just book 3 whole months in Busan and then spend a tiny fortune to fly home. But it's like, that just can't be right. That just can't be right. That feels so wrong. That's just can't be the right thing to do. You just got to unravel the situation piece by piece by piece until it all starts to become clear. And what's becoming clear is to not go anywhere, to just take it easy, just to hang out in this part of the world a little longer, because nobody necessarily needs me back home. Not in any capacity that a video call can't handle. Yeah, if I did have a wife and kids, this would be funny. It's like, you know, your kids haven't seen you in 8 months. Like, yeah, well, I had to go explore 7-Elevens, so deal with it. None of that. None of that. I am a ghost, and being a ghost is what I'm meant to do. Yeah, as far as staying for way too long, that's one thing that I thought was interesting was the lady who ran the place I stayed in Jecheon, where, again, I was there like 3 weeks? Feels like longer. It feels like I was there for a long time. But in her little review that she left me, that was like, the translations for her stuff in particular were very strange. I think she just has a flowery writing style that didn't translate easily. But she mentioned that the best way to travel is to travel like a local. You know, she was kind of giving me a little like pat on the back for staying at a place that locals stay at, just a normal type of place. And just exploring Jecheon for way too goddamn long. And it's like, yeah, maybe she wouldn't feel so positively about me if she heard my podcast where I complained about the place. But I mean, that's kind of neat in a way, too. I do think that's kind of, you know, like as much as I'm just like an ignorant moron who doesn't know how to talk to anybody. And I just pick up stuff inadvertently by walking around. I don't know how good I'm actually doing at absorbing any kind of information or culture or learning about a place, but I must be just by accident, just by being here. And yeah, I don't know, maybe that counterbalances a little just the absurdness of just being able to do this, of just being this person that can just travel around. And yeah, I only have one book bag worth of stuff. Yeah, I'm a cheap date, but this is still insane that I'm doing this. Surely not the most responsible life I could be leading, but like hopefully it's useful to somebody. You know, maybe I am learning something. Maybe I'm passing something useful on. Surely I'm at least learning stuff for myself, you know, that I have to assume is useful. Sometimes it's concrete knowledge, like you can have one shower for 30 people and it's like not even a bit of a problem, where I would have 100% thought that it was. A lot of the other stuff, I'm sure, is just a lot more abstract. But I don't know. I like it, I guess. We only get one life. I got dealt a pretty easy hand. There's no point being guilty about it. It's just how it is. So at least I'm trying to make what I can out of it. Make something potentially useful out of it. Anyway, I guess if you're still listening to this podcast after over 100 episodes, you must feel that way to some degree, so thank you. Thank you for listening, and thanks to my daddy who hated traveling, who always talked about how he hated sleeping in any bed that wasn't his, he hated eating weird food. I'm doing all the stuff he didn't even want to do. So cheers to him for making all this possible, and you know, am I living like a local? I mean, not really. I guess that's where I felt like that lady probably thought, the Jecheon lady probably thought I was doing more than I'm doing, you know? It probably is pretty unusual for some Canadian guy to roll into her place and stay for 3 weeks and just explore Jecheon. But at the same time, I'm just, you know, what did I do while I was there but go to Burger King and drink coffee from the unmanned coffee shop. You know? But I'm like getting more comfortable with that. Let's just stop all this rambling. Just that I'm just learning as I do this, that this is what I'm here to do. This is what I'm meant to do, is to just, I'm like a stone skipping across the water. I'm not getting deep. I'm not diving deep down into any of these cultures. I'm not learning anything too meaningful. It's all surface level, but perhaps like enough time spent at the surface level, things can still seep in. Hopefully something is coming of all this, but even if it isn't, whatever, whatever. One life to live, fuck it. Why overthink it? Just have a nice time. Along those lines, I'm gonna go find an Adia coffee. Get like a white chocolate mocha or something, again from their amazing touchscreens where I can order all kinds of ludicrous shit that I would never have the balls to request of a barista. I would feel like such an asshole. Is that Jack Johnson? If it's not, it's Jack Johnson adjacent. That makes me think of, I don't know, like Victoria, BC. Coffee shops playing chill surfer music. Anyway, I just wanted to pop in at the bottom of the mountain to say that I got stopped by another guy who wanted to talk. That's weird. It doesn't really happen that often. It happened twice today. And yeah, this guy flagged me down, like deliberately. Even though I got my little headphones in and I gave him the little hello nod, but he's like, no, hey, come over here, talk. And it went pretty much identically to that other conversation. Hey, where are you from? It's like, oh, Canada. Oh, yeah, cool. He said north or south. But I hit him with the east-west. Like, not Vancouver, but the other side, the east side. And then he just gave up. He's like, I can't. I can't speak English. And again, he's probably just like, presumes that I'm like a student or something. Or that I must know some Korean. Why else would I be here? Surely we can cobble together a little conversation with his English and my Korean, but it's like, I'm afraid I don't have any. I'm sorry. Why is that? Does that make any sense? Nope. Nope, doesn't, but... But that's me. I'm the ignorant ghost. But at least I can just be ignorant in that I don't know things, but I'm not ignorant in politeness. I can give you the biggest smile and nod and a nice bow, and we can have a great little smile off, but that's all I got. Just thought I'd throw in that update for no particular reason. Now that I'm back in Trafficsville, let's stop this podcast. See you next time.